This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
The United Nations considers a war stopped even more important than a war won.
If our cities go down, in my opinion, our nation will go down.
You have to think about your dream and what you want to do.
All we were trying to do was just get music for all people.
Parents and students are getting themselves ready for school to start next week after Labor Day, which can mean last-minute shopping trips for supplies and clothes and perhaps a doctor's appointment to get those vaccines up to date before the school year starts. Now, let's go back to the 1930s. 6,000 deaths a year, 95% of which were children aged 5 and under. That was the annual damage pertussis, better known as whooping cough, did in the United States in the 1930s. But three Michigan women were about to change all of that. It's Wednesday, time to talk our state's history with our partners at the Michigan History Center. And with us today is Mark Harvey from the Michigan History Center. So, Mark, these statistics from the 1930s point to a pretty grim public health problem with whooping cough before the 1940s.
Yeah, it was worse than scarlet fever, diphtheria, and measles. It was a real problem.
And it's something I suspect that parents were very afraid of.
Yeah. So vaccines have been around for a long time, as it turns out. In the U.S., all the way back to the 1720s, Cotton Mather learned about applying a little bit of smallpox on your skin to ward off future infection. So it's been around a long time. But the key is, they knew about the concept of vaccines, and Pasteur sort of refined it in the 1880s, but what no one ever really knew is how to do it on a large scale effectively and safely. So there was always this fear about applying the vaccine and what would happen. You sort of hold your breath and hope for the best. It was never standardized.
So enter Doctors Pearl Kendrick and Grace Eldering. Tell us about them. Where were they from and just who were they?
Pearl Kendrick came on the scene first. She was originally from Wheaton, Illinois, and got a bachelor's of science at Syracuse University in 1914, which is fairly unusual for women in science at that time. And she worked in New York public health agencies for a little while. And then an official with the Michigan Department of Public Health, Cy Young, not that Cy Young of baseball fame, the other Cy Young, recruited her. So imagine in 1920, this person recruiting a woman in science to come work for the Michigan Public Health Department in Grand Rapids. And he would sweeten the offer and say, you know, we're going to make it interesting for you to come here and work in Michigan. And he did. He offered employees the ability to get advanced degrees, do their own research. So Kendrick actually was able to go on while working for Michigan Department of Public Health and get her PhD from Johns Hopkins University.
That was very forward-thinking. So Grace Eldering, how did she come into the picture?
So 1920s, there's a lot of research on culturing bacteria. Michigan was leading the way in bacterial research, so they put a call out for more. They needed more people in the lab. So Grace came from Montana in 1928. Her the call for more lab technicians. So she came to Lansing and was working in the lab doing bacterial culturing, and was quickly, within about 6 months, was recognized by Pearl Kendrick as someone that was outstanding, and she recruited her over to Grand Rapids, and then they started working together.
And how did they get pulled into this effort to wipe out whooping cough?
Kendrick was really inspired by those statistics that you had mentioned and wanting to do something about it, and Eldering had actually had whooping cough as a child. So those two things together crystallized their resolve to try to do something about the whooping cough. And no one, frankly, no one else had figured it out yet. So there was this kernel of them doing that.
What is it that they needed to do to kind of crack the nut, if you will?
In researching it, vaccinations, you have to find a really virulent strain of the bacteria to use for the vaccine. And they really had to do lots of lab work trying to find that very particular strain of Bordetella pertussis to use for their trials.
And at that, we cue a lab technician by the name of Loni Clinton Gordon. What is her story?
She's an African-American woman, came from Arkansas, was a dietitian, sort of bounced around from different jobs in mental facilities and other hospitals, and not surprisingly faced lots of discrimination, not just because of her race, but because of her gender, and wound up working in Grand Rapids. And again, prescient Pearl Kendrick saw her and recruited her in the lab. And what she got from Gordon is this tireless, dedicated lab technician that just did not give up until she found the perfect strain of the pertussis bacteria that they could use in the trials.
And then they began, what, doing inoculations of kids in West Michigan?
They first started by presenting the findings of their research to the American Public Health Association in October of 1935. You know, as I've read it, members were skeptical, quote unquote. Read between the lines, here are two women presenting at a national conference, presenting a solution that no one else has come up with before, and everyone was skeptical. So being very smart and very political, both of them, Kendrick and Elderlin, went back to, because actually Elderlin went to Johns Hopkins as well and got a PhD in epidemiology. They went back to their mentor, Wade Hampton Frost, and got him to be their consultant on their trials. So now they had sort of the weight of Johns Hopkins staff, and they started this broad partnership with all different agencies in Grand Rapids. So public schools, women's clubs, parent-teacher associations, private physicians, you name it, county welfare relief agencies. They were smart enough to do this really broad partnership-based trial. And in 1936, they began those trials, which lasted around 2 years.
So we really saw kind of a unified effort between these three researchers in West Michigan and Johns Hopkins, you know, the medical establishment there, working together. And ultimately, they produced the whooping cough vaccine.
They did. And an interesting footnote is they were running out of funding in 1938, and they invited Eleanor Roosevelt to Grand Rapids to visit the lab and go over their work. And she was so impressed, she went back and immediately got them WPA staffers to help in the lab and secured more WPA funding to continue the research, which then later led to the National Institutes of Health funding their research and really set up Michigan as a public health research institution. You know, they funded public health research through the early 1980s.
But at what point did the state of Michigan put its official stamp on it, begin producing and distributing the vaccine?
In the 1940s. Yeah, it took a while for the trials to be proven and approved. So, you know, by the 1950s, it was standardized.
And it was actually Kendrick and Eldering who combined the shots, didn't they, into what we know as the DPT, diphtheria, whooping cough, pertussis, and tetanus.
Yep, which we still have today.
Which we still have today. And ultimately, what did that vaccine mean in terms of incidence and deaths?
What it ultimately did was a couple of things. It clearly lowered the incidence of infant and early childhood deaths. And it also, over time, gave people that surety that they could go get vaccinated and it wouldn't be rolling the dice like it was, you know, in the late 1800s and early 1900s. There was just more science behind it. There were decades of trials behind it. And so you had that surety that this is going to work and it's going to protect my family.
How does this story of the pertussis vaccine kind of fit into the modern vaccine debate?
Well, it's really interesting, actually, because a lot of the current debate is that vaccines aren't safe. And you know, we're going on 100 years of research behind the application of vaccines in mass. So as far as a historian's long view, I'm not entirely clear what it means. I think it means that sometimes there's a subjective truth when it comes to medicine, unfortunately. And I think what we should take away from this is these were women that were concerned about people's health, children's health, and worked tirelessly to figure out a way to safely protect them from things like whooping cough.
That's the Michigan History Center's Mark Harvey. And thank you so much, Mark, for sharing the story of the three Michigan women who developed that pertussis vaccine, one of the most important life-saving developments in public health history. Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you.